ahead of his wits with this question, because Boris's face darkened instantly.
No one is hiding that information. Those classes are attempting to recruit, and for good reason. Everyone wants a rare and powerful class, but what happens when you get to your next advancement and it is impossible for you to rank up? The kingdom needs third or fourth tier classes in order to survive.
The air temperature seemed to drop with his icy tone.
If people are unable to think for themselves and are willing to take whatever class they can find, is that the fault of the kingdom?
Sorry, Boris. Joe tried to apologize.
Perhaps.
Boris turned his eyes to the paper on his desk.
You should spend this day elsewhere. Perhaps boosting your wisdom will help you learn not to spout treasonous conspiracy theories without thinking.
Joe took the hint and ushered himself out of the library. As he stood blinking in the bright light, he had to sigh and slap himself. I can't believe that just happened. Having no real objectives for the day, he tiredly interrupted a conversation between two citizens and asked for directions to the temple. A somewhat unfriendly person pointed off into the distance, and the people hurriedly walked away. Joe trudged over to the temple area and was astounded by the size and complexity of the building. For such a small-seeming building, it seemed to stretch a huge distance. The room was dazzlingly bright at one end and filled with impenetrable darkness at the other. Hundreds of shrines and statues of varying size and ornateness filled the open space. Seeing another person nearby, Joe inquired about how to navigate the place.
Who's you off to worship?
Joe winced as the excessively hairy man loudly scratched at the underside of his arm.
I'm not sure of his name, but he is a neutral god of—
Sure, sure.
A meaty finger pointed at the north end of the building, then the south, east, and west.
North for good, south for evil, east for darkness, west for light. The more well-known or powerful your god, the more ornate their shrine. Have fun.
Joe stood nonplussed as the man walked away. Looking around indecisively, he wandered toward the center of the building.
Neutral alignment, dark and water, Joe mumbled as he stared at the shrines he was passing.
In the exact center of the room was what must have been the four purely elemental deities. Neutral and without darkness or light, their altars were grand and incredibly ornate. Most of the people walking around the building were either going toward or away from these particular shrines, looking at each other with distaste whenever their paths crossed.
Strange. Joe would have thought that people under the same banner would be friendly toward their fellow parishioners.
He decided to stay on task. He wasn't here to parse the interpersonal relationships of others. Joe was here to find answers. Stopping at an empty space where a shrine should be, he looked down at the tile on the floor. It had a few simple carvings on it, but otherwise it appeared that there was nothing to be found. Joe stepped forward, kneeling on what he was sure was the hidden god's space.
Hello?
Joe blinked, and in that instant found himself transported into a grand temple situated on a mountaintop. Smiling benevolently down on him was the hidden god, who swiftly shrunk to be Joe's height.
Welcome, Joe. I am so glad that you found and visited this place. Since I now have an active cleric, I was able to start building my shrine again.
Oh, I'm glad. Joe looked around at the empty temple. There were no decorations, no furniture other than the throne, and the place felt a bit depressing when he noticed these details.
I have a few questions.
What can I do for you? Actually, the glowing figure held up a hand. Just so you know, you can ask anything, but I may not be able to answer you. There are rules that I must abide by.
Gotcha. Joe gathered his thoughts. I've been here a few days and leveled up a bit, but I'm wondering how I should focus my talents in order to rank up.
How have you been focusing them so far?
There was a wry grin on the DT's face.
Well, I got my jump skill to master. It only took a few skill points, so I'm really hoping that it wasn't a massive waste.
Joe waited for a reaction, but kept talking before the silence grew awkward.
From here onward, I'm not sure what to do. I was hoping for advice on skill increases and on ranking up.
Ranking up? Specializing? Don't worry about that for now. You have plenty of time before you reach level 10. Talk to me again at that point, and we'll see if you've earned enough favor for me to be allowed to give you a hint. Bring a map at that point.
The dusky face blanched suddenly as he grabbed his throat.
He gagged, trying to breathe. After a moment, he calmed down.
Said too much. Ow.
Are you okay?
Joe was looking at the man-shaped being with great concern.
Remember I mentioned that there are rules? I just bent one a little too far by offering you advanced knowledge that you haven't earned. Action, reaction. Or should I say, overreaction?
He muttered as he rubbed his neck, a bruise in the shape of a chain forming.
Next, your skills. Don't discount the fact that you have a master rank at level 4. Dang near impossible for that to happen, but have you been exploring the benefits of that skill? Have you even jumped once since attaining master rank?
Joe shook his head.
I haven't. Well, I did jump at a monster, but it was only about 2 feet away. With my health and stamina, I suppose I am pretty nervous about hurting myself again. Not gonna lie, jumping off that cliff might have given me a bit of a fear of heights.
Yet it wasn't the fall that killed you, and I don't see fear in your eyes when you think of rock.
That's not the point. The feeling of being totally destroyed like that...
Joe's brow furrowed.
Actually, it doesn't seem that bad now.
Why?
A terribly uncomfortable look crossed over the deity's face. Since you asked about it, I can tell you. But are you sure you want to know why?
Suspicion bloomed throughout Joe's mind.
Yes. Why does it not seem so bad now?
It is because we numb the pain and remove the trauma from you. Pain, fear, and doubt are interactions in your brain. Why do you think so many people are willing to go out over and over again after being attacked by wolves and having chunks of flesh torn out of them by bears?
The deity answered in a rush of words.
Not knowing how to handle this information, Joe simply decided to think on it later. All right, we'll circle back to that eventually. Now, let's go back to talking about skills. I'm Catholic, and the reason I hate using my ability to pray is because it feels sacrilegious to pray to you. This really bothers me, more than I've even realized until now.
Understandable. The god nodded along. Here's the thing. I'm a god of Eternia. I'm not God. I am not the creator. I am a part of this game. Think of using your praying ability like using a search engine. You send a query or request to me. I return answers if possible. You know what? I'll update your skill for you if it'll help.
Skill. Pray has been renamed to Skill Query. All effects and requirements remain the same.
Thanks. That does help. Joe is much happier about this skill. If you don't mind, can I talk about you as a faction leader instead of a god?
Makes no difference to me. Heck, you can call me Tatum. Get away from your discomfort entirely.
Tatum? Joe tried to hide a grin.
Short for occultatum, which is Latin for hidden.
Tatum waved a hand to move the conversation along.
Listen, we're running out of time. Do you need answers to other questions?
Yes! Joe was laser-focused once again. How do I increase my skills faster, and which ones should I devote most of my time to?
You should focus on...
Gah!
Tatum choked again as he tried to give a direct answer.
All right already! Ugh! Focus on what makes you unique. To increase your skills, you need to study them, practice them, and try everything you can think of.
when you use them correctly in ways you haven't before, you get new skills. Joe thought on his words, realizing where he had been going wrong.
Thank you. How do I earn more favor with you so I can earn more direct answers?
The god beamed at this question.
Yes, I can give you a sigil. It is like a crest or a tattoo for your clothing. In your character sheet, under equipped items, set this sigil to active, and it will appear on your clothes. Then, when you gain experience, you will gain favor equal to 2% of that total. Not huge, but noticeable.
Couldn't tell me unless I asked, huh?
Joe archly challenged.
Correct.
Tatum suddenly vanished, as did the mountaintop temple. Joe found himself back in the city temple, surrounded by shrines and statues once again. Looking down at the floor, it seemed that the flat tile had raised a bit, and the carvings were now slightly more intricate than stick figures.
Thanks for the help.
Hope I helped you too, Joe muttered to the shrine. Before he forgot, he went to the tab in his status and equipped the sigil. A silvery shimmering pattern appeared on his robe, abstract lines that morphed into a book when you understood what the drawing was supposed to be.
Neat. All right, now I need to go study my character sheet for more stuff that is hidden away like this.
Joe walked out of the grand building, oblivious to the angry eyes that lingered on his sigil as he moved. Chapter 17. As Joe continued moving forward, he tried to deeply examine his understanding of skills. He was a combat medic, which meant that he had a good handle on triage and stabilizing wounds. Comparatively, his actual medical and biological knowledge was much lower. Was this reflected by his heal skill remaining in the beginner ranks when he utilized all of his ability? He could go to the library and read up on all the information he could find, but this felt like a less effective use of his time. Tatum had told him to focus on what made him unique, and while healing was rare among humans, there were rumors that other people were gaining the ability. In his character sheet, there were very few things that had the word unique by them. In fact, there were only two. The classes of Jumplomancer and Ritualist. Of those two, only being a ritualist was something that no one else could get access to without first being trained by him. For multiple reasons, it would make perfect sense in this case to focus his training on the ritualist class and abilities. It was his real class, after all, and though other people technically had access to rituals, he had the potential to make them so efficient and powerful that he could use them like typical spells. Joe, deep in thought, nodded to himself. It was time to dive headfirst into the mechanics of ritual magic. There was only one thing more important that he had to do first. Walking around for a bit, he found a cafe and ordered some coffee. Perfect. All set to parse out the mysteries of the universe. Pulling out his book of beginner rituals, he began working to try and understand why they required certain components. Blood or hair was an easy one. It helped the ritual target a specific person or base itself off of their stats, like with the Predator's Territory ritual. Silver was a little less obvious to him. Knowing that it was conductive to electricity wasn't very helpful, since Joe was fairly certain that the ritual wasn't battery-operated. Perhaps it had something to do with the purity of silver? Skill rank increased. Ritual magic. Novice 2. Learn everything.
Well, that answered that question.
Was it really so easy to gain ranks and skills? He supposed it was understandable. This was an academic study more than anything else.
You gain skill with swords by swinging them and fighting. Why not gain skill with magic by trying to understand it?
Using it would have more impact in the higher levels, for sure, but simple study was the best way for now. Joe perked up as an idea struck him. It seemed that this game was based as closely to real life as possible. Why not study things in real life and relate them to the game? If he was able to gain increases like that, then he did have an internet connection to the outside world. Since he was in a cafe, he was able to open a screen and connect to Wikipedia. With so many theories of magic as well as real-world facts at his fingertips, he began to understand much more about the potential reasoning for the effects of components. Hours flew by as he studied, his mind drinking in the ideas with an alacrity he had never found in high school or college. Was his intelligence score here helping him to become actually smart? This was his real body now, wasn't it? His strength made him weak, so this would make sense, though it was a terrifying thought. How far could he go? Joe grimly decided that he would do whatever it took to boost his stats. This was something that he needed to test. As his self-enforced study session ended, Joe looked at his notifications and had to put on a weary smile. He had made good progress today. Since Joe hadn't looked every time a new message came in, he was able to see the final amount gained in each category.
Skill increased. Reading. Novice. 7. Skill increased. Ritual magic. Novice. 8. Ability score increased. Intelligence plus 2.
Spectacular! 5 ranks in ritual magic and 6 in reading? The speedy gains were almost assuredly because of his complete lack of knowledge of rituals, but that didn't dampen the achievement. He certainly felt that he now had a better understanding of why some components were used over others, but he also knew he couldn't go around changing them or making his own versions at this point. It wasn't far off, though. Joe felt positive that the creation of rituals was something he'd be able to do at the higher levels. Also, he couldn't discount the ritualist class bonus, which was to learn skills 4 times faster than other people. Yes, the ritualist class had certainly been the correct choice. He was making progress and felt serious satisfaction from that simple fact. A more immediate benefit was that ritual magic had reached level 8, so Joe now had a 4% reduction to the cost of rituals. He stood up, his back cracking joyfully when it was straightened. Walking toward the market, Joe noted that it was much later in the day than he had expected. It must be approaching dinner time already. With this thought in mind, he hustled to reach the stores he needed to visit before they closed. His purchases were fairly simple. More components for his rituals, a carving set so that he could have a ritual pattern ready before he needed it, and a standing order for monster cores from the alchemist. The last was difficult, since the alchemist tried to pry into Joe's reasons for needing so many cores. Mentally tired, Joe returned to the barracks. It had been a good day. He had learned quite a bit about himself, as well as set realistic goals for the future. Heh. What a shift, realistic. Had taken. His realistic goals were about magic. Joe nearly fell over as a voice snapped him out of his self-appreciation. Aten was standing in front of him, looking a bit irritated.
Joe, you listening? Good. Tiona tells me that you might have a way to make an area safe from monster attacks.
It took a second for Joe to nod.
Yes and no. It makes any monster under a certain level avoid the area, but any monster stronger than the repellent will be drawn to the area, avoiding anyone else. It is a spell called Predator's Territory.
A manic look came into Aten's eyes.
Even better! So we will get to fight only the strongest? That means that we will get the boss monsters and everyone else will only get the standard mob fight? This will be amazing for our reputation and levels. We can use that to recruit. Only the strongest and the best come for the Wanderers.
Joe felt a bit sick to his stomach at that thought.
So cheesy.
Yeah, but the threshold is 10 levels above the person whose blood is used in the spell. If we used my blood, we would only draw in a monster if it was level 14 or higher. I can't imagine what would happen if we pulled in a level 20 or something.
Levels is what would happen. Reputation! I can picture it now. The Wanderers versus a raid boss. In the center of the capital city!
Aten was unconsciously gripping his sword and slowly drawing it, bloodlust pouring off of him. But, Joe tried to think of some way to reason with this battle maniac.
If it gets to us here, it means it either got through the wall or can fly. Aten cocked his head to the side.
Hmm. Good call. I'll make sure our archers are on duty tonight. Oh, and we even have a first-level mage now! Congrats! You aren't the only magical person in the guild anymore.
Really? How did he get the mage class? Joe leaned in. He wanted to hear every detail since the details of the class were so sparse.
She went through classes at the Mages College. We sponsored her so that she could afford it, and I gotta tell you, I really hope her magic is going to be as useful as we need it to be. That place was not cheap.
Aten grumbled a bit about this fact.
Hopefully we can pay off the loan before the interest breaks us.
Speaking of costs, if you want me to run that spell every night, I will need some components. Those aren't cheap either. Joe listed everything he needed, and Aten winced, but nodded while he explained.
Gotcha. I'll get us a large stash of those. We won't be able to use the spell every night, but when we see something interesting that we want to fight, or if we need a break, I'll ask you to set it up. That work for you? Since it is such a huge imposition, we can call this your guild dues instead of making you pay a percentage of your income.
Sounds good. Dues? You tax guild members? Joe's hand twitched toward his coin purse.
Have to.
Aten waved a hand at the building they were staying in.
You think room and board is free? Nah. Plus, we need to buy work contracts. Then we get reimbursed and paid upon completion. Guild quests cost a couple hundred gold just to accept. That's why the competition is so fierce.
Set it up for tonight, then? Joe was very interested in keeping his money in his own pocket.
No, let's wait and see what sort of trouble the city is in for tonight. I'll see if we can get a box of cores for the guild to use. A few craftsmen have already brought it up.
Aten waved goodbye and went off to attend to his other duties. Joe decided to eat dinner, afterwards sitting down and beginning to carve the patterns needed for various rituals. He didn't need to make too many. This was the only component of the ritual that wasn't consumed by activation, so he could reuse successful carvings. Some of the symbols were very easy, such as the star enclosed by a circle or the double circle needed for predator's territory. The issue arose as the rituals began to have more effects. The patterns became far more intricate than his dexterity allowed him to create.
Skill gained. Carving, Novice One. Are you either an artist, bored, or in your 70s? Then carving is the skill for you. Each skill level increases accuracy of carving by 1% as well as decreasing time to finish by 1%.
Joe looked at the pattern he had been trying to create in dismay. It had been intended as a pattern with graceful swooping lines, but the final product was destined for the trash can. Perhaps kindling for a fire. The wood had chipped and splintered. The graceful lines instead consisted of hard angles, and it was overall poorly done. He sighed regretfully. Perhaps it would be better to have an artist create these patterns for him. Joe's perception was excellent, and although he was able to easily find the flaws in the work, his dexterity left him essentially childlike in his attempt at artistry. Yet another thing he would need to delegate until he was able to improve himself. Perhaps it would be better to work with the rituals he was able to complete? For instance, Aten had wanted to have the area ready for the ritual tonight, if needed, though he said not to activate it. The ritual would need to encompass the entire barracks, which meant that he needed to get a double circle drawn around the entire structure. Seeing as they were in a temporary dwelling and the ground was stone, carving a double circle was impossible. Perhaps paint would be the best substance to use? Joe asked around, but no one in the area had anywhere near the amount of paint that would be needed, and by now, the shops were closed. Joe was about to throw his hands up and call it a night, perhaps go to bed in an attempt to no longer be frustrated, but then he noticed a group of children drawing on the cobblestones across the street. Light filled his eyes, and he went over and asked the kids if they had any spare chalk. The adult watching them seemed to be trying to stare through Joe's skull, but relaxed when all Joe did was accept a large chunk of chalk in return for a few coppers. Walking around the building, Joe tried to make lines every few feet so he could connect them and make a complete circle. After finishing the preliminary marks, he followed them around the building twice, enclosing the structure. Using his personal stock of ritual components, he placed them in the correct positions and began empowering the ritual. Something felt different instantly. His mana started tearing out of him at a far greater pace than ever before. Joe gasped in pain and dropped to his knees while his energy was drained away. Attempting to cut off the flow didn't work, and he watched with trepidation as his mana dropped below half full. His mana regen of a little over 5 per second was doing its best to keep him standing, but couldn't keep up with the powerful drain. He fell forward as his mana dropped below a quarter and could hardly breathe as his power reserves fell to zero. Agonizing pain tore through him then, and his health began to fall in place of his mana. The pain stopped and restarted every second as his mana regeneration kicked in and allowed a few extra points of energy to flow into the ritual. His health fell all the way to 15 points before the ritual finally had enough mana to satisfy itself. As his pool of power began to slowly recover, Joe wheezed, coughing noisily as he sat up. With a trembling hand, he pulled up and looked at the notifications which now appeared as a combat log.
Ritual. Predator's territory initiated. Caution. Missing component. Blood. Caution. Ritual size larger than recommended for a single person to perform. Caution. Ritual pattern is malformed. Calculating added requirements due to issues. +200 mana required. Mana drain increased. Insufficient mana drawing from health pool. Blood added to ritual via damage to Joe. -100 mana required. Ritual complete. Activate ritual now? Yes or no?
Joe selected no with a sour expression. The chalk surrounding the building took on a red glow, which interested Joe enough that he tried to rub some of it away. It didn't budge or scrape off, so Joe felt confident that it would remain until it was activated. Looking at the notifications, Joe snarled into the empty air.
So it starts pulling from your health pool unless you have enough mana? I never saw that mentioned anywhere. I won't be forgetting this anytime soon, stupid never-explained magic.
Wisdom +1. Skill increase, ritual magic, novice 9.
He snorted at the new notification.
Now I feel like someone is just messing with me.
Ritual ready to go, body and mental power drained, Joe gave himself over to his exhaustion and went to bed. Chapter 18. Waking up the next morning without having to fight anything or have anything trying to kill him felt almost anticlimactic. Joe stumbled out of the rock-hard bed he called his own and owlishly stared at anyone who came too close. Imagine his surprise when a pink and blue-haired girl plopped down across from him and gave him a brilliant smile.
Hi there, I'm Tara. Are you the other magic user in the guild?
Mm-hmm.
Joe grunted as he tried to adjust his eyes to her eye-damaging color choices. She basically shimmered, and he hoped she was just wearing glitter and it wasn't somehow part of her character. Her hair was pink with blue highlights, and her eyes were bright green. Joe, very used to the modest colors he normally wore, thought she looked a bit like a parrot.
Awesome!
Her enthusiastic tone made everyone in the room who was not a morning person wince theatrically.
I just got back from an awesome 10K jog, and I was hoping to see someone else perform magic. You were a cleric, right? Like, how does healing magic work compared to elemental magic? Can I watch you do a few spells or something?
Joe thought very hard, but could not come up with any real reason to deny this request. He looked around the room until he saw someone holding their head in pain. Motioning them over, Joe used Cleanse on them, curing their hangover, and sending them on their way. He looked over at Tara, expecting her to be excited, but she was just looking at him with her eyebrows raised disdainfully.
Really? You don't direct the mana or work to control it?
She looked at him up and down.
I didn't think you were on a mental keyboard. You look like you are actually coffee-deprived.
What are you talking about? Joe was shocked into answering her. Of course I controlled that spell. Didn't you just see me direct it through his entire body?
Yeah, sure. But I meant you didn't control the way your mana left your body. I mean, seriously, If you already have the mana channels, why not use them?
Tara seemed confused by Joe's non-reaction.
You don't have them? Oh my god, using any amount of mana at all must, like, exhaust you. You can seriously hurt yourself like that.
I have no idea what you are talking about, Joe informed her firmly. Her Valley Girl way of speech was grating on his nerves, and he wanted her to either get to the point or go away.
Wow, you are so lucky I came along to this guild.
Tara flipped her hair over her shoulder and smiled happily.
Let's get you learned. You have a mana pool and mana channels. If you use a spell without directing the power through the channels, sure, it is faster, but you get tired and sore really fast, right?
A few of her words resonated with Joe.
So if I had a huge mana pool and used all of it at once...
You'd probably hurl or pass out. Maybe bleed all over the place or something.
Tara smirked at him smugly.
Guess what, though? I can teach you how to fix yourself. I am a licensed mage, after all.
You need a license? Joe nearly choked on his coffee as he took a long drink.
Right? Whatevs, though. Let's get started.
Tara grabbed both his hands and leaned toward him. Joe's face turned crimson as a few people in the room whistled at them.
Okay, where is your pool of mana?
Not understanding what she was asking, Joe pointed at the interface in the corner of his vision that showed a full mana bar. She shook her head violently and laughed.
That's your mana bar, silly. You need to meditate and go into yourself to find your center. I'll show you.
Tara used skill, guided meditation on you. Accept, yes or no.
Joe accepted eagerly. His breathing slowed and his mind cleared of distractions. He felt a warm light in his mind and he followed it deeper inside of himself. He followed the light through dark, twisting tunnels until finally a kaleidoscope of brilliance formed in the distance. Turning the final corner, Joe found himself staring into a tiny, twisting hurricane of blue and black light.
Whoa,
Tara's voice echoed into his mind.
You have a buttload of mana.
Is this a lot? Joe smiled as he watched the powerful clouds of energy. I get a boost to my mana pool from being a cleric.
I should see if I can switch. I could cast so many spells,
Tara stated wistfully.
You need to condense this stuff and start it moving through your spell channels. Think about it shrinking, condensing, and then will it to happen. Make it an orb that spins, and use as much force as you can.
She hadn't led him wrong yet, so Joe stared at the mana and tried to make it pack together. He felt his mind reach into the storm, and the edges of the turbulent energy began to smooth. Excited, he pushed harder. The storm started to take on a spherical shape, expanding at the bottom and shrinking at the sides. It compressed smaller and smaller, also becoming much brighter as the mana was forced together. When it was nearly half the original size, Joe found that it wouldn't go any further. He stared at it angrily, pushing and shouting with his mind until a nasty headache bloomed.
Skill gained. Coalescence, Novice One. You have taken the first steps on the path of the mind. By collecting your mana in an orderly form, you will be able to pack more mana into a single usage with far greater effect. +1% spell efficiency and +1 mana regeneration per skill level. Wisdom +1. Increase your wisdom to coalesce your mana to a higher degree. Maximum 50% spell efficiency.
Awesome! Joe exclaimed when he finished reading the description. What does spell efficiency do?
It makes your spells cost less mana.
Tara was staring at the contained storm clouds.
What kind of ridiculous wisdom score do you have?
Joe nervously babbled. It's a cleric thing. Healing someone is based off of your wisdom, or something like that.
Ah, that makes sense.
Tara nodded knowingly.
Okay, step number two. This one is usually harder because people don't have enough mana, but somehow I think you will get along just fine. Grasp some mana, keep it attached to your mana pool like a string, and start pulling it along these tunnels. Just walk and pull. The more mana you are able to bring along on the first pass, the better your bonus will be at the end.
All right. Joe tried to grab some of the cloud, but it was, well, a cloud. Rolling his eyes, he tried to pull it along with his mind. Nothing happened at first, but after focusing harder, he was able to force a tendril of mana to slither out of the orb. Grunting in what he was sure was a charming manner, Joe slowly coaxed as much of the energy along as possible. As he got the hang of controlling the thread of power, he started walking along the twisting tunnels with his mind. The thread followed Joe, and Joe followed Terra. He was very lucky that she knew where to go, else he would have been lost a dozen times over. Looking back, a trail of light followed Joe as far as he could see. He turned another corner, and his mana pool was back in sight.
"Are we lost?"
Joe asked Terra a bit reproachfully.
"Where did you think we were going?"
Her voice was confused.
"Now, just reconnect the mana to the pool and you're done."
"Oh, sorry about that. I thought we were... Actually, I had no idea what to expect."
Joe stepped forward and directed the energy back into the pool. As it connected, mana began to pulse along the line, and another message appeared in his view.
"Skill gained. Mana manipulation, novice one. Where others are content to throw unseemly amounts of power into a spell, swiftly fueling their own destruction, you use a lighter touch. 30% mana, plus 1% mana, and plus 1% spell efficiency per skill level. Maximum 25% efficiency. Intelligence, plus 1.
Joe's face moved from confusion to shock to outrage. He sputtered,
30% mana pool loss?
He opened his status and, sure enough, his mana had dropped from what should have been 575 mana all the way down to 402.5. His shock brought him out of his meditation session, and Terra responded nonchalantly.
"Yeah, 30% loss. It's rough, but you start increasing your mana pool at the student rank, and if you make it to Sage, you can get it up to, like, a 70% mana boost."
It appeared that she couldn't read his thunderstruck expression very well. He was not amused.
"That's obviously why it is such an issue for mages at the beginning, but it is so worth it in the end. You rank up the skills by getting your mana pool down to zero over and over. For coalescence, you focus on shrinking the mana pool as it refills, keeping it as small as possible the whole time. Helps boost wisdom over time, too. For mana manipulation, you work your power to use that open channel while you cast. You gotta kinda, make it stay on that path. Try it. It's way easier to understand it that way."
Joe wanted to be upset, but he swallowed his frustration and cast a ranged heal on a random passerby. Casting using the mana channel was a strange feeling, but he also instantly felt the difference. Instead of only seeing the effect after casting, he could now feel the power flow along his body. It was similar to grabbing a live wire, a kind of tightening that forced his body to respond. A ball of water splashed on the lady passing. She sputtered as water dripped down her face, then glared and gave him a rude gesture. Whoops. That was the server. Joe suddenly felt the need to leave a really good tip.
"The more mana that passes along the channel, the wider it'll grow. At its max size, it'll bump open a new one. When you have all seven open, you are a sage-ranked mana manipulator."
Terra seemed to have stars in her eyes. Actually, with the burning ambition he could see, Joe thought that a forest fire was a more accurate representation.
"Seriously, I know I'm grumpy, but thank you for teaching me these skills."
Joe nodded at her and pushed his cold coffee away.
"Is there anything I can do to repay the favor?"
"Well, learning that skill set without guided meditation costs nearly 1,000 gold from the Mage's College."
Terra's words nearly made Joe's eyes pop out of his skull. $10,000 for those skills?
Luckily, the guild paid the fee for me, so now all I need to do to earn my officer's cut is train our members and participate in raids. Teaching you paid off 10% of my debt to A10, but if you want to thank me more personally, feel free to heal me whenever I need it and resurrect me if you ever learn how. Otherwise, I do accept cash. I'm thinking of making, like, a tip jar?
Sure thing. Thank you again. This will be really helpful. Eventually.
Joe received a wink in reply, and Tara flounced off to do whatever it was she did. Joe looked at his mana again, a bit forlornly. He was now under the minimum required mana for most rituals that he had seen. Only the very basic ones were available to him at this point. Joe wanted to dump points into the mana manipulation skill, but stopped himself before he did something he was sure he'd regret. He needed to save those points, but he also needed to have enough mana to use rituals, and Joe barely stopped himself from screaming. Everything needed skill points! Joe tried to calm down. Think good thoughts now. Inhale. Exhale. He could level these skills up quickly, he was certain of it. Mana manipulation was based off of how much mana you used correctly.
Mwahaha!
Well, he could empty out his entire not-quite-as-massive mana pool easily with a single ritual. He paged through the ritual book, marking down which rituals were available to him at this time. Little Sister's cleaning service would just about clean him out, which was perfect for leveling his skills, but he had no real need for the effects. Predator's territory cost about 450 mana, a bit less with his skill increase. Too expensive to use right now. He was rather glad that he had set one up around the guild area before he learned these useful skills. The only other rituals he could complete right now were nasty debuffs that lasted through death. Leaden footsteps and overburdened back. Leaden footsteps was interesting. It would increase a person's weight fivefold whenever they weren't in contact with the ground. This would make swimming, jumping, or flying nearly impossible. Overburdened back would make any single item not equipped weigh the maximum amount the targeted person could carry. Joe could see some utility with this one beyond being a curse. If this was used when someone was carrying something massive, it would actually reduce its weight to something manageable. Unfortunately, he couldn't think of a time where anyone would only want to carry one item with them. Maybe a competition of some kind? Both of them cost 700 mana, but his class would make them usable for him by having their requirements. Unfortunately, he was out of cores for his ritual, so it was currently a moot point. Not only that, but creating the rituals just to create them would be incredibly wasteful. Sighing in frustration, he decided that he would grind up his new skills today by joining Tiona and using as many spells as possible. Looking at the time, he found it was already 8 in the morning. Joe cussed softly and made for the city gate. In his rush out of the building, he tripped on a crate. He was in pain, and his mind was making rhymes. Snarling, he debated healing his stubbed toe, but in his hurry, he decided against it. Sprinting, he arrived at the gate. Turning his head, he puked as his stamina hit rock bottom and the physical side effects hit him. Collapsing to his knees as he looked around for his group, Joe hoped that he wasn't too late. As it happened, they were just walking up and looking at him with great concern. Dang it. He explained his morning between gasps and about how he lost track of time. All he got in response to his tale were a few laughs at his terrible stamina. They set out at a much more moderate pace, their mission once again to hunt wolfmen. The rabbits ran away as Tiona approached, her high level causing a fear status in the weak creatures. She laughed at that. Apparently, level 9 was the threshold for rabbits to become terrified. Foxes would still attack them if they got too close, but staying on the now well-traveled paths allowed for very few encounters. There was a small side effect from being on high alert and not being attacked. When they reached the wolves, the entire group was antsy and spoiling for a fight.
In their rush to burn off some nervous energy, they decided to attack any wolves they saw along their path. Chad pointed out a small pack drinking from a shallow pond, and everyone moved into position. He fired an arrow, which lodged deep into his target's flank, eliciting a howl and a response from the others. Joe's eyes narrowed as he saw the wounded wolf moving toward them at a much slower pace than normal. This was his chance to try his first attack spell. Focusing on his mana, Joe directed it to his hands through the newly opened channel and cast Shadow Spike. It felt a bit strange to see the spell impact the wolf because there was no indication that the spell had come from Joe. The wolf was staggering toward them and never even noticed its own shadow bunching up and spearing him from below. The shadow returned to its normal form, and the wolf's entrails poured through the gaping hole. Joe was almost ecstatic about how effective the spell had been, but a touch of sleepiness made his mind a bit fuzzy from the spell cost. Since it was a mage spell, and he was playing as a cleric, the spell cost 50 mana for being a non-class ability. Well, technically, the spell cost 49.5 mana because of the 1% spell efficiency from his new skills. Still, it took an eighth of his total mana to cast that spell a single time. Before condensing and directing his mana, using that much power at once had caused a serious wave of fatigue. Thinking it through, he found that he had no real complaints. The spell was spectacularly effective, and even the huge mana cost would be good for increasing his manipulation skill. A touch of sleepiness? That was manageable. Joe was torn out of his self-analysis by a scream of pain almost directly in his ear. Tiona's wrist had been caught by the Pack Alpha, rendering her sword useless as the canine shook her brutally. Her sword clattered against a rock as she dropped it, and the wolf was able to throw her body to the ground. The snarling beast lunged at her neck, and Joe saw that there was no one near enough to help her. He made the gesture needed to cast Shadow Spike and felt his mental energy drain once again. Joe's hands hadn't been very accurate with the rushed motions, so even though the spell fired off properly, it drained almost 50% more mana and seemed far weaker than it should have been. He shook his head to clear out the sudden cobwebs, watching the results of his action. The shadow had lurched up from underneath the animal, impaling him as he leapt for Tiona. He landed on her, and the flat base of the short-lived cone-shaped spike used the impact of their bodies to drive deeper into the chest of the meaty creature. It thrashed for a moment, but fell still as it bled out. Tiona needed to wait for rescue as the horse-sized body started to crush her. Her wrist was obviously damaged, possibly broken, and she was in great pain. When the last of the animals fell, a far easier task without the alpha guiding them, Dylan was able to push the creature over without it further injuring the already wounded woman. Joe hadn't been idle. He had begun healing his party leader as soon as he could get access to her. The heavy body had been inflicting minor crushing damage every second, but the amount of health being taken was fairly small. He was confused. For some reason, he wasn't able to bring Tiona past 3/4 health. When the wolf was off of her, he found that the bones in her wrist hadn't been able to set. He pulled her hand into the correct configuration and healed her again. This time, her health reached full. Oh, thank goodness. It was just a major sprain, puncture wounds, and dislocation. Her constitution and strength must be massive.
Thanks for the healing.
Tiona was rubbing her hand and took a moment to wipe away the sweat and tears threatening her vision. I'm glad to do it. For some reason, I wasn't able to set your bones with magic. Joe was searching his memory for any time he had healed a bone, but he realized that he hadn't needed to fix any of them. Mainly because magical healing was a rarity, so people were fairly good at setting bones and performing first aid. Their bones healed pretty fast in this magical world, and he now realized that he had only ever fixed various flesh wounds. In fact, the only time that he had healed serious organ damage or broken bones was when he had fallen off a cliff and splattered all over the stone below. Was he able to heal himself to a greater degree than he was able to heal others?
Not surprising. You'll get there.
Tiona was standing, and it was obvious to Joe that the trauma of the fight was already vanishing from her memory. He shuddered a bit at the intrusion into their minds.
What is surprising is how the wolf died. Did you cast an attack spell?
Joe choked on his words as he began to wave her question away, but realized that hiding his ability was foolish. This was his team, and he needed to trust them. Hiding his ritualist class was needed so that he retained all the experience bonuses. But this? I did. I got access to it when we got that title for staying outside overnight. My deity is one of at least water and darkness, and maybe I'll be able to learn more spells as time goes on. This spell is called Shadow Spike, and I got it as a bonus reward on top of the title.
Awesome! Now we have two ranged damage dealers so we can take on tougher enemies. How much damage does the spell do?
Chad put out a hand for a high five. Joe slapped the outstretched palm and winced as the disparity in strength between the two caused his hand to throb.
Right now, only 10 points of damage. It does 10 points per skill level, but the cost doubles with each level as well. Takes about 2 seconds to cast correctly, but if I dump extra mana into it, it seems that I can cast an inferior version faster.
Oh? How many times can you cast it in a row right now?
Tiona's eyes gleamed as she planned out their next fights.
Only 8 correctly cast versions before I am totally out of mana, Joe stated almost sadly, though no one else understood why.
They thought that was perfectly reasonable for such a powerful spell. Tiona did some quick math in her head.
All right. Healing is pretty cheap for you, though, right? That makes perfect sense. Using non-class-related skills costs more stamina for us. Why wouldn't it cost you more mana for spells? In that case, during battle, I only want you to use the spell a maximum of 5 times. That way you will have enough in reserve to heal us if we get put into a tight spot, but you'll still be able to contribute to the fight more directly. Also, that spell seems really hard to avoid. I didn't even see it cross the distance between you and your target.
It should be difficult to avoid, Joe chuckled with glee as he realized that having non-class skills wasn't out of the ordinary. He could flaunt his abilities a bit more with this knowledge.
It uses the target's shadow to attack them and seems to move at the speed of darkness.
Speed of darkness, faster or slower than the speed of light. Hey, looking at the bodies, I don't know if it did full damage to the wolves, but it might have.
Guest chimed in as she inspected the corpses.
It's great, but remember that these are just animals with no magic resistances. Monsters and bosses will almost certainly be able to ignore some of that damage, so keep that in mind. Also, now that you have a damaging spell, I think we should have you go hunt foxes all on your lonesome soon.
Will do. Thanks, all. I'm glad you are so happy about this.
Realistically, Joe expected them to be a little miffed that he hadn't told them about his spell earlier. He now saw that he would be pretty upset if one of them were doing his job. What if suddenly Chad had been able to magically heal without telling him?
Blech.
As they walked, a notification popped up since combat was complete and his stress levels had decreased.
Experience, 48. Wolf times 4. Skill increased. Mana manipulation, novice 2.
Not bad. Every little bit helps.
Chapter 19. Hunting 10 wolfmen was complete in under an hour. The number of wolfmen in the area seemed to have increased dramatically now that they were being actively hunted. Was it a response from the game? Perhaps their tribes were just sending out more patrols. Regardless, after completing their daily hunting quest, the group wanted to head back to work on their individual projects. Tiona relented, but informed Joe that his job was to hunt foxes until the sun began to drop and he needed to get behind city walls. Fairly pleased about this task, Joe readily agreed. He had gained 610 experience from the wolf hunt, a pretty solid haul for an hour of fighting. Sure, it took about 2 hours of walking to get there and back, but it wasn't a waste. Joe needed just over 3,000 experience to get to level 5, which would unlock his profession. Then, according to Tatum, he would get massive bonuses from his research and could live in the library for a while. After assuring the others that he would be fine hunting alone, he waved them off and waited for them to leave his area. Then he smiled, opened his character sheet, and set his class as Mage. Quest updated. Playing your fake role, too. As a mage, your job is to output as much damage as possible in as short a time as you can manage. If you want to be a believable mage, your ambition needs to be even higher than an actual spell slinger. Learn 3 mage spells, 1 out of 3. Get 1 mage-type skill to the beginner ranks, 0 out of 1. Kill 5 enemies within 10 seconds by using spells, 0 out of 1. Well, dang. This quest was going to take a while, unless he was able to get an area of effect spell, but the reward was pretty great. How was he going to manage this? Somehow, he felt that a fireball spell was out of the question for him, with his affinity for water and darkness. Well, at least it probably wouldn't be very effective. Technically, he was able to learn any type of magic because of his class. Setting his combat notifications to be read at the end of his training, he decided to begin the hunt. Cracking his knuckles and smiling at his soon-to-be victims, he dove into his grisly business. Joe was here to kill foxes and chew bubblegum, and as far as he could tell, bubblegum didn't exist in this world. Looking around with narrowed eyes, Joe tried to see any hint of fur in the area. The red fur stood out against the green grass pretty well if he paid enough attention, and his perception let him paint targets easily. Sighting one fox stalking an inattentive rabbit, Joe started the gestures needed to cast Shadow Spike. It took about 2 full seconds for the spell to be cast properly, and the difference between the hastily cast spell he used on the wolf and this proper cast was instantly noticeable. The spike formed under the animal faster, looked more solid, and was several degrees darker. The fox was lifted off the ground, impaled through its stomach. The spike vanished quickly, leaving the mewling fox to bleed to death over the next few seconds. Joe felt bad that he wasn't able to finish off the fox in one blow, as he really didn't want the poor thing to suffer. The next time he saw a fox, he specifically targeted its head with the spike. Unfortunately, right as the spell completed, the fox whipped its head in Joe's direction, and the spike missed completely. It crouched down, growling at Joe, but not moving to attack just yet. Joe glared at it as he finished his spell again, feeling the mana move through his body and form into a spike under the animal. The shadow punctured the small skull, and the fox thrashed only for a moment before expiring with a sigh. Joe spent the next few hours tracking down foxes, impaling them, and doing his best to boost his skills. With every cast, he tried to utilize his channels correctly while thinking through every aspect of his spell. On his 21st kill, the mana drain seemed a bit more intense than usual. As he was currently set as a mage class, the mana cost was negligible and replenished by the time he finished the next spell, so he wasn't sure if he was just imagining things. He took a moment to read his newest notification, intentionally ignoring the others. Skill increase. Shadow Spike. Novice 2. Spell damage if perfectly executed, 20. Mana cost, 20. Perfect. His attempts to use specific portions of Shadow so he would hit critical areas must be helping him to understand his spell a bit better. He kept on tracking and attacking, leaving all the bodies where they fell. Hopefully, this small amount of bodies wouldn't be enough to spawn a zone quest because he couldn't pick the bodies up. He was only wearing clothes, a ring, and his robe while carrying a scepter, and he was already nearly overburdened. His strength modifier was a serious hindrance, and he swore to himself that he would get strength and constitution to a basic human level as soon as possible. Until then, he had to hope that he wouldn't set off a zombie fox apocalypse. A few experience points later, he stopped to examine the wound that his shadow spike made in an animal. It tended to leave a large hole in the pelt, and as far as he could see, There was no way to know that the damage was caused by magic. It looked the same to him, as if a spear had been thrust into the creature. Releasing a huff of air, Joe decided that he needed to see the spike more closely if he was going to understand how it worked. He stepped into the shadow of a tree